that obedience is not just sacrifice. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, those of you that are able and willing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your baskets and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Scatter them. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that He has given you. The Lord will establish with you His holy people, as He promised you an oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord. They will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations and will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you to this day and carefully follow them. You will be at the top and never at the bottom. Amen. God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. That is some good stuff right there. But it's sandwiched. There's a sandwich in there. It's called the if sandwich. It starts off with verse 1 and ends with verse 13. There's an if sandwich there. We've got to obey. We have to be obedient. We've got to obey the Lord if we're going to experience the working of God. But how do we know what true obedience is? What are the marks of obedience? Obedience is identified by, I think, at least three marks, and I'm going to talk about three today. One is that it's timely. Obedience is timely. When should I obey God? When I hear the command. You see, the common answer, I saw a video this week of 13 ways Christians can say no. You know what the number one way they say no is? I'll just have to pray about that. I'll pray about that. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with praying. That's one of the best things we can do. Okay? But let me give you some help here. The best way to be obedient to the Lord is to pray beforehand and say, Lord, when I hear your voice, help me to be obedient. Not when you hear it and go, oh, Lord, what should I do? What should I do? Pray before that when God speaks, you'll hear it clearly and you'll be ready. That's it. Not everything you're asked to do is of God. Even in the church. Okay? Be ready. Be prayed up in advance. And say, Lord, when I hear it and I know it's you, and Lord, help me to speak, help me to hear it clearly, but when I know it's you, my answer is already yes, whatever it is. You've already got that decided. Just like this little girl said in Sunday school during their class, they were studying the Lord's Prayer. And it says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The teacher asked, how do you think God's will is done in heaven? And the little girl answered, right away. That's right. That's right. Do you think the angels sit around and go, oh, we should pray about that. I think we should, Michael the archangel, not me. I mean, I'm not even there yet, but still. Michael, Gabriel, what do you think? I don't know. Let's go ask Moses. I mean, he's been around a while. Let's go ask him. They don't do that. The Lord speaks and it's done. It's done. They do it. It's obedience. It's timely, right away. I believe that God reveals His call in three different phases. The what, the how, and the when. But until I'm told when, what do I do? If the Lord reveals what He wants to do, and He begins to show me at least a portion of how He wants it done, what do I do while I'm waiting for Him to tell me when He wants it done? I'm responsible for whatever the Lord has told me to do up until that point. Up until when He says when, I'm responsible for studying up, getting up, prepared up. If I'm David, I'm going to keep tending sheep and I'm going to kill giants and lions and bears while I'm waiting. And tigers too, if they're alive, right? Oh my, I heard that. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. I need to continue to walk in what He's revealed to me thus far. And then when He reveals my next step, then I walk in that. In John, there's a verse in John chapter 12 that says, Jesus, he said, walk while you have the light so that darkness may not overtake you and overcome you. You see, every moment I hesitate to follow the call of God is a moment I risk wandering around in the darkness. Every moment that I wait, that I procrastinate, I hesitate to follow the call of God is a moment I risk wasting my life rather than investing my life. So I need to commit myself to giving my life, walking in whatever light God has given me to walk in today. I told you the story about my headlights on my truck. Tonight, if it's dark when I leave, I'll go out here and I'll start my truck and I'll go out on the highway there. I'll turn left. And my lights are going to shine, I don't know. How far the headlights shine down the road? 200 yards? My lights don't. My lights maybe go 150 yards. But that's not because it's a Ford, Jeff. Jeff would say if it's a Toyota, they go 200. I was just going on the top standard, Jeff says. 150 yards. Guess what? My house is more than 150 yards away, so how am I going to see all the way to get there? The truth is, as I move, the light keeps going ahead of me. That's how God works. He doesn't show us the whole path, the end result, and the glory, and the awesome things that wait at the end. He shows you just enough to make that next step, and the next step, and the next step. And as you walk, more light, and more light, and more light, all the way to the destination. That's how God works. Why does He do it that way? Because it requires faith. And He says, you come to me by faith. So I'm going to work through you by faith. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? And this whole Bible that we have is God's story of Him proving Himself worthy in our lives. Proving Himself trustworthy. So that's part of the crisis. Do you trust God? And if you say yes, then guess what? That belief is going to require action. And when it happens, are you willing to be obedient? That's what it is. That's what it's all about. It's timely. When God calls, we sang that song, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. That's the only proper response. You've heard me say this before too. I'm kind of living on old sayings today. Is it possible to say, no, Lord? Well, no, because it's not true. If you're telling the Lord no, when He asks you to do something, then He's not really Lord of your life. Because the servant does not tell the master, no. I need more water. I'm tired. How long do you think that servant's going to live in the master's house? Here on earth, no. But what I'm talking about with God, He says, you're my servant? Did you give yourself to me? Did you ask me to be Lord of your life? Okay, here's what I'm asking you to do. The only proper response is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's timely. It's timely. It's immediate. The second thing is obedience must be total. Complete. I told you we're in a sandwich, right? Verse 1 and verse 13. Verse 1 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today. If you fully... If I ask my 16-year-old daughter to take the trash out, she knows what that means. She knows it means she bags it up, she takes it outside, puts it in the big green can, and closes the lid so that the possums and raccoons don't get in there and make a mess. Okay? She knows that. If I say, Aaron, take out the trash, and she says, all right. So she gathers the can, she drags it to the door, steps at three steps out, turns it upside down, and shakes it like that. Did she take out the trash? Well, technically, yes. But is it... Did she obey fully what I told her to do? The intent of what I told her to do? No. That's not being obedient. Because what am I going to do? Aaron, get out of the bed, quit taking a nap, get yourself over here, and get out here and pick up that trash. Okay? Obedience must be complete. It's got to be full obedience. True obedience is total obedience. That's why it's important to wait on the Lord to discern how He wants us to do what He's calling us to do. Because, listen, God's will must be done God's way. Does God ask you for advice? But sometimes we think that He is, because we say, oh, yeah, I hear that, God, but listen, I know a better way. I want to do it this way. This is the way that I know how to do it. I want to do it this way. But if it's not God's way, that's not being obedient. It's not being obedient. To obey God, I must be willing to make whatever changes and adjustments are necessary, even if it's a sacrifice. But my motivation to do that comes from knowing that if I will give to God a full measure of obedience, I will receive a full measure of blessing. Verses 2 through 12 tell about the blessing, about the rewards of being obedient. That's my encouragement to you. It doesn't come with nothing. Obedience comes with blessings. Or blessings come with obedience. They follow obedience. Okay? There's a famous preacher, evangelist. His name is D.L. Moody. He's even got a university named after him. The Moody Bible Institute. He was one of the most prominent evangelists of his day. When he first began to serve the Lord, he could barely read and write. I mean, barely read and write. Yet, when he became one of the most powerful evangelists in the history of his church, it turned heads. Although he had many limitations, he believed that he worked for a God that had no limitations. And early in his ministry, he learned the powerful truth that shaped everything he did. He realized that God can use any Christian who is totally committed to Him. Do you believe that today? Any Christian. In the early years of his ministry, while he was on vacation back in England, Moody heard a British evangelist, his name was Henry Varley, and he heard this evangelist say, "The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him." And Moody thought to himself, well, Henry said, amen. He didn't say a great man. He didn't say a learned man. He didn't say a rich man or a smart man or a wise man or an eloquent man. But he simply said a man. And Moody said, well, I'm a man. And it lies within the man himself whether he will or will not make that entire and full consecration. And he said this, I will try my uttermost to be that man. Folks, when a Christian surrenders himself completely to God, God is free to work completely through him. And our great God can do extraordinary works through very ordinary people. Read the pages of Scripture. Little bitty shepherd boy. A stuttering adopted kid. That was Moses. Little shepherd boy, King David, greatest king in Israel's history. He used ordinary people. Fishermen. That's good folk right there. Unskilled. Bible tells us that when, I think it was it James and John or Peter and John? before the Sanhedrin, and they were telling them, you can't preach in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that they saw that they were ordinary, uneducated men, but took note they had been with Jesus. And that made them no longer ordinary, but extraordinary. Folks, that is your story. When you encounter Jesus Christ, you are no longer ordinary. You are extraordinary. Extraordinary. Beyond ordinary. And God can take that and make it something beautiful and powerful and strong. I was telling our group this morning that I still cannot find that song. And Fran, that was close, but it wasn't the exact lyrics of that song. It wasn't that song. But it talks about insignificant things we might think are insignificant. And we're talking about this God-sized thing that God wants to do in us. And I think we have in our mind, well, it's an event. It's a thing where we come together and God just does this great thing that we can't even explain how it happened. But I want to challenge you this morning. Because sometimes the greatest things are not the great big mushroom cloud result things that happen, but a consistency in the small things over a period of time that amount to something marvelous and magnificent and impactful in somebody else's life. That's a God-sized thing, folks. It's a God-sized thing. The third thing I want to tell you about, it's timely, it's total, and I'm staying with my alliteration, Miss Nix. It's transforming. It's transforming. The middle section of that passage talks about the transformation. It's the blessings promised the people of Israel if they obey God. True obedience will release the power of God, folks. I'm telling you. Specifically, the power of God to transform us and those around us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us." Whose power? His power at work where? In us. That's you and me. The Message puts it a little bit differently in a little different... that it doesn't change the thought. It just makes it a little easier to understand sometimes. It says, God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or even guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. God's doing the work. All we're doing is saying, here I am. Like Isaiah, here am I. Send me. That's what surrender really is, folks. And let me tell you something. If you came down the aisle as an 8-year-old or 6-year-old or 28-year-old or 80-year-old, it doesn't matter. If you came down the aisle, you shook the preacher's hand and got dunked in the baptistry and think that that's what it means to be a Christian, you're a little misled. Okay? You're a little misled. What it means to be a Christian is someone who says, you know what, I can't do this on my own. I recognize that I've broken the rules and everybody has, but I can't fix it. I can't even fix what I've broken. I don't have a sacrifice big enough to cover what I've done. But I know that Jesus Christ, God Himself, put flesh on and came to the earth so that I wouldn't have to pay that price. You know what? The Bible says that I can count on that sacrifice and apply that to my sins. And I'll be forgiven as if I never did it. I can't do that on my own. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. I believe what He said when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. I receive that, and I ask Lord Jesus Christ to be my boss. And I'll receive the salvation that He offers me and eternal life in heaven. That's what it means to begin to be a Christian. But when you said, Lord, you're boss, guess what that means? You give up the right to be boss again. In America, we don't like that. We like to be top dog. We like to be the boss. And so we just start taking things back for ourselves sometimes. Guess what? That's not letting God be Lord. That's not letting Him be who you claimed He was. transforming. There's another passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The first part of it says this: "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Fully committed to Him. God's not looking for wishy-washy people. He's looking for hearts that are fully committed to Him. We have this idea sometimes, I think, that if we really dive in and give it all, that it's really going to cost us and we're just going to like live in a nun house or a convent. And we're going to be poor and destitute all of our life, and that's our sacrifice. Bible doesn't say anything about that. It says, would you be willing to? If that's what it took, would you be willing? But God says, I want to bless you. This verses 2 through 12 says that. I want to bless you. I want to bless your faithfulness. I want to bless your obedience. Would you be obedient? I'll do these things if you'll be obedient. That's a promise. God wants to bless you. He's not just, listen, God is way more interested in your character than in your comfort, okay? But if you work on your character, God will give you comfort too. Matter of fact, He'll give you the comforter. Amen. That way you're never without comfort. Amen. The last time I checked, this world was in need of transformation. Would anybody agree with that? The last time I checked, I was in need for transformation. Would anybody agree with that? Would anybody in this room say that you're in need of transformation? Okay, we all are. We're all in need of transformation. That is why we need to experience God at work in our lives, folks. To experience God, listen, we've got to believe. We've got to believe that He's at work, that He's pursuing a love relationship with us, that He invites us to join Him in His work, that He's calling us to new steps of obedience in our walk with Him, and that we can join Him in that work. He can enable us to do what He's calling us to do. You've heard the saying, God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. If God calls you to it, He'll supply what you need to go through it. We'll make any adjustments required to obey, and we know that it's worthwhile. That as I obey Him, He will accomplish His work in and through me. The only question left to ask this morning, will you obey? Will you trust and obey? There's no other way, you know. No other way to truly be happy in Jesus Christ, but to trust and obey. We've walked through the steps of experiencing God as an individual in your own life, going through the belief process of receiving a call or being ready to receive the call, hearing God's voice, and seeing that as an invitation, responding to that. And going through that crisis of belief, do I really believe that God is who He says He is and He can do what He says He can do? Once we say yes, then we walk in obedience. That process varies in length. Most of it depends on us. The idea is that the more we mature, the shorter that process gets. Remember I told you if we stay prayed up, that'll help that process get short. Mike, I want you to do this. Yes, Lord. Matter of fact, I think God would get great pleasure in saying, Mike, I want you. Yes, Lord. That's the truth. That's what God wants. Even before I know what it is, my answer is yes. Yes, because I know and I trust you, Lord, that whatever you have for me is better than anything I could come up with on my own. Matter of fact, if your word says that if I'll be obedient to you, that you'll show me, you'll shower me with blessings. And I want to be blessed because I know some other people that can use a blessing. And I can take what you give me and I can bless other people. Woo! Two birds with one stone. That's efficiency right there. I want to be an efficient Christian. That's what God wants. That's what God wants from us. Are you willing? Are you willing? I told the group, I think it was on Wednesday night, that God wants us to be willing to be involved in His work. And He puts the question before us. But I have to be honest with you, not always. There's times in Scripture when people, God decided He was going to use somebody, He really didn't give them another option. Ask Paul, or ask Saul, that became Paul. I mean, God smacked him on the Damascus Road and blinded him and said, "You're going to follow me now, bud." You know what Saul said? "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord." Ask Jonah. "Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh." "Yeah, I've got a previous engagement in the other direction. I'm going the other way." God said, "All right, you can try." Little ways off, gets thrown overboard because of the storm. The fish eats him up. Guess where the fish takes him? To Nineveh. Let me tell you something. If you'll get on the boat to Nineveh in the first place, you won't show up smelling like a fish. Amen. Come on. Will you be obedient? That's where we are. That's where we are. If you really believe that God is who He says He is, He can do what He says He can do, and He wants to use you to accomplish it, will you say yes? That's our question. Father, help us. Help us to say yes today. Maybe even before we even know what it is. Help us to be willing to be obedient to You, Father. Help us to crave to hear Your voice and Your call so that we can take that next step of obedience and see further down the road. Father, we know that You're trustworthy. You have a proven track record. You honor those who are faithful to You. And Father, the truth is, if You never, ever did another good thing for me in my entire life on this earth, and You never blessed me with another material thing here in this earth, I've already received more than I deserve. Because one of these days, I'm going to be standing in front of You face to face, and I long to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." So, Father, if You never, ever blessed me again, it's worth it for what I have waiting in store for me. But, Father, You're just so good. You tell us, "Yeah, but if you'll be obedient, I'll bless you anyway." God, You're so good. Thank You for that. Father, show us. Show us the benefits of trusting You, of following You the rest of our days. The truth is, Father, there are people out there in this world that their salvation may be dependent upon how much I trust You and how much I say, "Yes, Lord." Oh, Father, I pray that You would use us. I pray that You would find us in a position that says, "Use me." And if we're not there, Father, oh, help us to get there quickly. For when we get there together and quickly, Lord, then we'll see God do the God-sized things through our church. That's what we want to see, Father. We want to see You high and lifted up. We want to see lives touched. We want to see lives changed. And Father, we want You to use us, not so that we can brag about it, but so that we can brag about You, because You do the work. Find us willing in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand up. This is our time of invitation, the altar call, the whatever you call it. I'll be standing here in the front. Rebecca's going to join me. We're here. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. The altar's open. The altars are always open. The altars are never closed. Let me encourage you. If you felt or heard the voice of the Holy Spirit today, and whatever it is, oh, say yes. Say yes. For your own sake, say yes. You'll be blessed. But more than that, you'll be honored because you can stand before God and say, "I did it. When You said, do it, I did it." I'm telling you, folks, I can't wait. I can't wait for that day. This is your time. Let me just encourage you. You respond however you need to respond. This is your time.